you remember Bob McClendon? He's going to be having his heart catheterization procedure on Monday, the 27th. So let's remember him on that heart cath. And that's going to be in Piedmont. Mary Ann Sampney next. That's what hers is going to be. Her knee replacement is going to be next month. So let's remember her. Y'all pardon me for 1 second. Started to eat my mint too late. And whenever I get to speaking, I try to hide it, tuck it away. They don't want to sit up there and choke in front of me. So. Anyway, let's remember Miss Mary Ann. We mentioned our children's home. Brother Snyder and his recovery. We're coming up fast on Jubilee, not this Sunday, but next Sunday will be our Jubilee kickoff. Got a lot of things going on around the church. Got four jobs going on. We have the TVs, and of course the kitchen floor is getting replaced, and then we got the shrubs and the flowers, and then someone else has stepped in and we'll be replacing the carpet in front of our doors here, the entrances of the church. So there are a lot of things going on, and the church is getting facelift. Of course, last year at Jubilee, we didn't have it painted yet, and so be real proud this year at Jubilee each night when you come, knowing that a lot of things are being improved around here. And so let's remember Brother Snyder, and hoping to pray that he can come on that Sunday morning. If not, Brother Brian will step in Sunday night, Brother Sammy Burgess, Monday, Michael Suit, Tuesday, David Smith, Wednesday, Josh Aiken, and then Thursday, Kenny Cockendall. Of course, all the singers that will be with us as well. Larry Bennett, his mother, Miss Helen, let's remember her in prayer with a hurry of recovery. I'm sure she's doing better. Trill Norton, James and Shirley, Leonard and Dolores, Brother Harold Dolph, I spoke with him yesterday. Of course, he was here Sunday morning, but he's doing good. Let's remember him. Let's remember Don and Carla. Richard Martin. I tried to reach out to Richard Martin. Does anybody remember Brother Richard Martin? Okay. I'm not being rude by that. I'm just wanting to know because, you know, he came and then he joined. Of course, we knew him from Floyd Road, but he just... evidently has a lot going on at home. And I know his wife is sick, so let's just remember him. I can't even reach a voicemail when I call him. You either remember? So let's remember him. Let's remember the Bendys over in Alabama. Randy and Diane Ely, the Ashworths, the Dailies, Rusty, Chris Watkins, Melissa Slagle, all of our shut-ins, Barbara Anderson, Jimmy, and Jenny Clayton, the McCrickers, Joyce Manning, and those in the military. Let's remember them as well. And just remember also that there will be no last Sunday night fellowship this month due to preparations for Jubilee. So this coming up Sunday night, I'm glad I mentioned that. No Sunday night fellowship. But also, this Sunday night, we're going to have just a time designated for prayer for Jubilee. We're just going to emphasize on that. I'm sure we'll have a song or two, but I may read a verse or two. But we'll spend a time in prayer together for Jubilee on this Sunday night. And then, we'll, of course, be dismissed. That will be our Sunday night service. And then next Wednesday, I asked Brother Jeff tonight if he would speak for us. So Brother Jeff's going to be, he's going to be playing guitar, he's going to be speaking, he's going to be doing it all on next Wednesday night, so you pray for him. I just want a little flexibility to make sure everything is ready to go for Jubilee. I appreciate that, Brother Jeff, being willing to step in. All right, I'm going to open up to you. Anything, any updates, any prayer requests, anything that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, prayer requests. Take them online.
Okay.
right. Make your way to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 is where we're going to be tonight. And I want to bow for a quick word of prayer, and then we will introduce the subject for tonight. Lord, we love you tonight. We praise you, Lord. We need you this very moment as we began to speak and teach your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would apply it to every heart tonight. Those watching on Facebook, those listening on the webpage, I pray, God, that you would touch hearts and lives. Give me a clear head, a calm heart as I attempt to teach one more time. I thank you, and we all love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, the past two Wednesday nights, we have been in 1 Corinthians, if you remember. And, of course, a Sunday night before then, we were in 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, we were in 1 Corinthians 2 and 1 Corinthians 3 on a Sunday night before these past two Wednesday nights. And so these past two Wednesday nights, we've maintained in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And that first lesson, a couple Wednesday nights ago, we talked about carnal Corinth, if you remember. It was the battle of the two preachers that were that people followed, that between Paul and Apollos. And then last Wednesday night, we looked deeper into chapter number 3 of 1 Corinthians, and we talked about a spiritual house fire. And the intent of that lesson was, will our building material stand the test? And it has to do with motive and how we use our time and our motive behind what we do with our time. Now, tonight, I want to back up to chapter number 2, again, here in 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2. So we got a good idea about chapter number 3. And I want to back up to chapter number 2, and I want to begin going through chapter number 2. And after this, we may back up and go to chapter number 1. I can't explain it, y'all. Sometimes I study my best when I go backwards. I don't know. Well, you go backwards, and then you go forwards again, Brother Don, and you're getting a double look at it. I don't know. Sometimes I'm looking at something, and it catches my eye, and then, of course, we read it in context, and then we start reading the whole chapter, and then we want to take the whole of the chapter before it, the chapter before that. So chapter number 2 tonight is what we're going to look at, and I want to deal with verse number 1 through 5, and I want to talk to you on this subject tonight, when I first got here. Now, I'm not talking about me, although it sounds like I am. Paul begins to talk about when he first got to Corinth. And so in this chapter, Paul, he opens up with his first coming to Corinth when he went to preach to them. Notice in verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," when I came to you. And he gets into his message. He gets into his mannerisms. He gets into a mistake, meaning that this church mistaken him as being a weak person because of his body and because of his speech and some other things we're going to mention, but Paul, he recounts what happened when he first got to Corinth. And so that's what I want to look at tonight. And I labeled it when I first got here because I knew it'd be catchy. And so that's what I put on Facebook. And who knows, maybe some folks will think I'm going to talk about when I first got to Calvary, and they may pay attention and listen. But it's when Paul first got to Corinth is what I want to talk about. Notice in verse number 1, let's go through verse number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We're going to stop there tonight, verse number 5. And again, I want to talk about when Paul first got to Corinth. Number one, I want you to notice Paul's message. Paul's message. And actually, I want to start in verse number 2. He says in verse 2 concerning when he first got to Corinth, his message, he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So this was his message. He says that my message was, when I got here, was Jesus. He says, that's all I brought with me. And he evidently feels like that's all he needed to bring with him was Jesus. And so we see Paul's message coming to Corinth was Jesus. That was his message. That was his motive. He says, I decided before I even headed that way what I was going to present. I got to thinking about that today where he says, for I determined, I decided not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I got to thinking about how we come to church or how we go anywhere, a public place, a family gathering, how we come to church. Do we predetermine our attitude? I think it would be good to do that, starting with me. When I get ready to come to church on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, as I'm preparing and studying and meditating, I ought to decide when before I make my way here not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I ought to prepare myself with Jesus and bring Jesus when I come. And that's good teaching for any of us. Whether we go to church, bring Jesus, and I know He's in our hearts if we're saved, but be in step with Him, bring Him to church, bring Him to work, bring Him, you know, to a family gathering, bring Him wherever you go. That is good teaching for all of us tonight. And Paul said, that was my entrance at Corinth. He said, I decided not to know anything among you save Jesus and Him crucified. And I was thinking as well, as we prepare for Jubilee, that's good advice as we get ready for Jubilee. And each time that we come, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just go ahead and decide that when we come, we're going to come thinking about the Lord. We're going to come thinking about pouring into others. We're going to come with a prayerful spirit, in a prayerful attitude, having prayed for the preachers and singers and our own church people, visitors and everyone else, that some life, some soul would be saved and some Christian would be helped. And so we see Paul's entrance, and it's good for us to replicate that as well, to determine how we're going to enter any given place. Paul says, I enter with Jesus. He's on my mind, in my heart, and on my lips. And so we see Paul's message coming to them was Jesus crucified. No other message, but it was Jesus and Him dying for mankind. All right, not only that, but I want you to notice back up in verse number 1, not only Paul's message when he came to Corinth, but Paul's mannerisms. Listen to this. In verse number 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Look at verse number 4. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." This gives picture of Paul's mannerisms, how we preached and how we presented. He says that, when I came to you, my speech wasn't excellent speech. It wasn't speech of one in superiority, one who is supreme. My speech wasn't that way. I didn't come to you as a philosopher. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or superiority of speech or of wisdom." He didn't come with this great, being a great orator. He didn't come to them. His entrance wasn't of great swelling words and of deep philosophy. He came as a simple man. He preached as a simple man. And so we see here some of Paul's mannerisms. Again, Paul did not appear a great orator or a deep philosopher. Verse 1 and verse 4 say that. His words weren't so big you needed a dictionary. Now, I'm not knocking any preacher, any pastor, any speaker, or anybody, but some use words so big you need to have a dictionary with your Bible to know what they're saying. And the problem with that is the people you're preaching to are common people. Now, there's a time and there's a place to dive into the deep theology of God, the things where you need a dictionary, you need along with your Bible. And most of the time it's in a classroom setting where you can study things such as that. And not to say we can't get deep while we're preaching, because we certainly can. But Paul wasn't that way. You didn't need a dictionary, at least in his entrance here at Corinth, you didn't need a dictionary. He wasn't a deep philosopher, a great orator. Paul is painting this picture and telling us how his mannerisms were. Something else Paul didn't have. Paul didn't have charisma. Let me say something about charisma. First of all, what is the definition of charisma? The definition of charisma is charm, which inspires devotion in others. Paul was not a charismatic man. He didn't have charisma. Now, in our churches today, I'm talking about in our world, in churches today, a lot of people mistaken charisma for spirituality. And because somebody has a great personality, that don't make them a great speaker. That don't make them a great Bible speaker. It doesn't mean they're spiritual. I know a lot of preachers who get up and never preach the Bible, but they have a wonderful personality. They have charisma. They can preach on Andy Griffith and people go down to the altar thinking they've been touched by God. Charisma is not spirituality. And Paul didn't have charisma. Paul was not charismatic. Paul was a simple man. He was a man, which we're about to get into in a few moments, whose body was small and his speech was low in volume. And so he was talked about and he was ridiculed by this church when he first came. And so we see his mannerisms. They didn't need a dictionary to follow his preaching. He wasn't charismatic. Verse number 4, Paul didn't teach man's wisdom. Verse 4 says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." He said, "I didn't try to persuade you with man's worldly wisdom or wisdom of the world according to man." Paul said, "I have wisdom that I've accumulated by being in God's school. The things that the Lord has taught me and the experiences I have, that's what I brought on the scene." He said, "I'm not up here teaching," or "I didn't teach with a man's wisdom according to this world. I didn't have enticing words. That word, the words enticing words, or the word enticing in verse 4, it means persuasive. He wasn't a man who could easily persuade. He didn't use persuasive language according to man's wisdom. He got up and he preached God's word. So we see his mannerisms here. Paul didn't teach man's wisdom, but the wisdom Paul taught was learned in God's school. And so in verse number 1, in verse number 4, we see Paul's mannerisms when he first came to Corinth. Again, his speech, verse 1, he came to them not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. And then, of course, verse number 4, the enticing words of man's wisdom. He didn't have those things. He was a simple preacher. And that's how he came to him. Paul's mannerisms. Now, I want you to notice another thing. And this is in verse number 3. We see Paul mistaken. Paul mistaken. Paul was mistaken when he first came to Corinth. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." So he was, the Bible says here, he was with them when he came. He was weak. He looked weak. He felt weak. He felt incapable. But he knew he was capable because he relied on God. And so he had weakness. He was in fear. And the Bible says, and much trembling. The word trembling here is quaking. He literally quaked. He literally trembled. He was so nervous-like, and he was fearful for his life, and he was weak in body. He was this man. It gives a picture of a small person. If you look over in 2 Corinthians 10:10, gives more of a picture of his frame. Hold your place here and turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 10:10. I want you to notice something here. It's painting us this picture of how Paul was mistaken in his body as being a weak person and not God's man. 2 Corinthians 10, in verse number 8, the Bible says, "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you with letters. For his letters," say they, speaking of what the Corinthians were saying about him, "for his letters," say they, "are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible." That word contemptible, long word kind of, contemptible, it means least esteemed, or it means despised utterly. Paul wasn't a good speaker, if I'm reading this correctly, according to man's guidelines and man's standards. He didn't stand up and say something like, "Thus saith the Lord 200 years ago," you know, just on his tippy toes and hands in the air. I don't know. The way they're describing him, and he was this weak little man who's speaking people yawned at and despised utterly. And so back to our verses in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 3, he says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." He didn't enter in Corinth as a tall, strapping man who had everything together and who was this seasoned, speaker who could just speak swelling words of man's wisdom. He came on the scene a saved sinner that once used to persecute the church, who knew a little bit about God's grace and his mercy. He learned these things, and he was so negative toward his own self and incapable. He knew he was incapable of being an apostle, but so therefore he leaned on God. And when he leaned on God and knew he was incapable, and he stood and he spoke, it was powerful. That's what the pastor of today, the preacher, the teacher of today needs to learn, that God don't need powerful people. God don't need philosophers, or the Lord don't need someone with great orator skills. All those things are great, but God don't need that to use somebody in a powerful way. Some of the most influential people that I've met, some have been in wheelchairs. Some have been on nursing home beds, who would share the gospel and say something about Jesus with tears flowing down their face that would move my heart. That's some of the most powerful words of people in dire circumstances ever used in my book, are those who feel they're incapable, but yet leaning on God to make them capable. And so tonight, we don't need... We don't need a degree by our name to be used by God. We don't need to be rich to be used by the Lord. We don't need to have the finest of education to be used by the Lord. All we need is to have a hunger and thirst for Him, a Bible to preach from, teach from, share from, and a willingness to follow Him to wherever He leads. And God will use in a great and mighty way. That was Paul tonight, his mannerisms concerning his speech, but then his mistaken identity. He was with them, verse 3, in weakness and in fear and much trembling. I can't tell you the times that even now, going on 5 years, being the pastor and preaching for 5 years, I don't come to this church. I can't tell you the times that I don't come where I feel weak and fearful and trembling, just knowing that I'm standing to share God's word. I go over my sermon and I back up and I go over it again. I go over it again. It's like, you know, you hit that, well, I ain't going to say that. You hit that animal on the road and you think you killed him, so you back up and go over it again to make sure he's dead. But just make sure that I have it. Because whenever I stand, I want it to be the power of God and not of me. And so there's not a moment that I don't tremble. And honestly, the smaller the crowd, the more nervous I get. I get more nervous on a Wednesday night than I do a Sunday morning. Yeah, I don't know why. I just, maybe because I can see each and every facial expression. I don't know. You know, when I'm up there on Sunday morning and people are scattered out, I just kind of, you can just kind of get in the zone, get tunnel vision, and you don't see nobody. But when you're right here or in a classroom, you're teaching 3 or 4 or 10 or 15, it's a little intimidating. You'd better have it so recited in your head that if you lose your thought, you're still saying it right. So that's what we have tonight. When Paul got to Corinth, he had one message. It was Jesus. His mannerisms weren't the way that they thought they were, that the church would have thought they would be. Some big strapping preacher, but it was yet this little lowly man. But he had the power of God on him. Let me mention something else. Let me say this under his mistaken identity, or Paul being mistaken because of his frame. Corinth thought of him to be this little lowly man. But in Acts chapter 14, verse 12, the people of Lystra, they looked on him as the pagan god of Mercury because of his chief speaking. So somebody over here looked at him being a great speaker, and these over here did not. Go back and look at that letter in Acts 14:12. They looked on him as being the god of Mercury, this heathen god, because he was the chief speaker. So tonight, Paul wasn't proud. Paul didn't boast. He was humble and acted in his office with modesty, care, and concern. There's one more thing I want to mention. That's verse number 3. So we looked at verse 2. We looked at verse 1. We looked at verse 3. Now I want to look at verse 4 and 5 together, and then we'll be through for tonight. We see Paul's movement. Paul's movement. Paul's preaching moved people. Verse number 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul's movement. Paul's preaching moved people. And we've already talked about how that happened because of his entrance. He decided already he's going to have one message, Jesus. He decided already he was going to lean upon him because he was weak and fearful and he quaked. That's why he was so impactful. So Paul preached with plainness and boldness. The Spirit of God delivered to hearts. We know he was an apostle, and they had ability to perform miracles and such. And so this vindicated his message to the people. The Bible mentions here in verse 4, that latter part, that last sentence, it says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. And so he also performed miracles. This vindicated his message. We don't believe that man can perform miracles today, but they did in Paul's day, the apostles. We have the finished canon of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. Back then it was to vindicate the message. Now it's closed. We have God's complete message to give to people. We don't need to perform miracles to prove it. It's here, it's finished, it's done. Let's see. Plus the miracles were a sign to the Jew or to the unbelieving Jew. I want to throw that in there. Okay, so Paul, he preached with plainness. He preached with boldness. The Spirit of God moved hearts. His signs and his miracles impacted them as well. The listener vindicated his apostleship. Now, verse number 5, he says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so all of this was done. His approach worked. It was powerful. And the end result would be increased faith in God, or someone coming to God for the first time and then having their faith built and founded upon the Lord. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul wasn't going to allow human efforts to draw man. So he kept it simple. He preached the Bible, relied upon the Holy Spirit. And because of this, the power of God was seen and God worked. And he was successful at what he did. The power of God. And that's what we see in this apostle that was weak and that was fearful. And that was in his body, he trembled. We've seen the power of God. We read it in the Bible. He founded almost the whole New Testament. Many of the epistles he wrote. And we see the power of God in and through his life. He talked about being in the deep and being bit by the venomous viper and just how he preached and people came to the Lord. That's a message to us tonight, how we're to be, how our entranceway can be. Make it about Jesus. Love others like Jesus loved others. Lean on the Lord for empowerment, and we will see that God could also use us in a very mighty way like God used Paul. That's the message tonight. When I first got here, speaking of Paul, when he first got to Corinth, and again, next week I asked Brother Jeff to teach. But the next week's going to be Jubilee, so maybe after that we'll finish up chapter 2 and then get into chapter 1. All right. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for who you are and for what you do, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this close time together tonight with your church, with your people. I pray that something was said, Lord, that would have encouraged our hearts. I'm glad tonight that you don't need powerful people. You just need willing people. And so tonight, help us, Lord, just be willing, be pliable in your hand. We love you tonight. Be with all those on the prayer list. Be with us as we approach Jubilee. Be with us this coming up Sunday is just as important as any Jubilee meeting is. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Anything else to mention before we close? All right. Well, everybody be safe, and thank you for listening.